Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That is our website, HagmanReport.com. And there you can click on the banner for videos, audios, drill down, see the program descriptions, get all the links, engage in discussion on Rumble. Please subscribe to us on Rumble.com. That's Hagman Report on Rumble.com, as well as Brighteon. I've got a great show lined up for you today, which, by the way, is Friday, March 19th, 2021. America held hostage. If you're counting, it would be day 59 or 60 if you count the actual day today and the day of the residency of Biden. You know, 1,000 people tuned into the Biden-Harris vaccine speech, the non-vaccine vaccine speech.
I got hairy legs.
There you go, brother. I do have hairy legs, and Joe Biden is proud of that, right? Yeah. So, yes, he certainly won. Obviously, any thinking, sane human being would know that the election is stolen. And we have to go back to November 3rd, never waver from November 3rd. And we need to have a full accounting. We can't move on past November 3rd. Here with me, joining me right now, is the long-awaited. If I had a drum roll, I would be doing a drum roll. Peter Barry Chalka, who's been doing the circuit. He's been on One American News. He's been on just numerous shows, the BBC, and, oh, I could go on. The ever-popular, the most sought-after, Peter Barry Chalka. Go to peter.media to learn more about him. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at pchalka. But there it is, peter.media. Peter, how are you, sir? Let's get right into it.
It's great to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's great to be seen, and it's great to see you, and you're looking fabulous, and I'm glad. Hey, look, we're twins. We have the same mics.
Yes, I brought on my matching microphone, so there'll be compatibility.
All right. Well, now, you know what? I don't want to waste any time. I want to kind of just shift it right in your direction. People have been writing me and saying, where's Peter? What have you done with Peter?
Well, here's Peter, finally. In fact, my most recent appearance here on the Hagman Report was exactly 6 1/2 months ago today. It was Friday, September 4th, 2020, and that was the Friday before Labor Day.
Yep.
And, you know, it seems to me like 6 1/2 years ago, considering everything that's happened since and the New World Order that we're now living in. But at that point, September 4th, we had 2 months left leading up to the election. And many of us were working very hard in hopes of a different outcome on November 3rd, but it was not to be. So what we've gotten under the first 2 months of the Biden administration, or should I say the Harris-Biden, or maybe even the Obama-Harris-Biden administration, yeah. I think that's what it really is, right?
Yeah.
What we've gotten is, in my opinion, more problematic and more frightening than anyone could have expected was possible, but now it's become the new normal in less than 2 months. And it's simply horrible. And unlike Obama, who, in my opinion, was the smooth criminal who appeared to move slowly and subtly in his undercutting of the Constitution during his 8 years, we now see every day an out front, full spectrum assault on what's left of our traditional American values. And I thought I would start with a brief summary of what I've been doing since last September, since it kind of intersects with the stories I've been working on and what I feel is now important today as we look forward. From September through the election, I continue to accept invitations to appear on a number of programs, including the weekly nationally syndicated terrestrial program Mark Midnight, where I did my reporting and analysis. And I also filled in on 4 of the video news segments for the 4 Fridays in October on Caravan to Midnight. And in all of these appearances, including WGN Chicago and others, Like when I was on here last summer, Doug, I discussed my mantra of vote, influence, and pray, VIP. I wrote a feature article at American Thinker in October on that subject. I really felt that people should be encouraged to vote, of course, influence, and pray, with the accent on prayers. Now, in terms of the election itself, a president can only be as effective and successful, in addition to his own talents and capabilities, as the team surrounding and supporting him. And throughout his administration, President Trump was ill-served by many of those around him, and probably by, well, certainly by a majority of the millions of federal employees who make up the permanent administrative state. So the deck was stacked against him from day one. And for the sake of argument, and I don't believe this for a minute, and I know you don't either, but let's imagine that the election of last November 3rd and the weeks leading up to it with the mail-in ballots and so on, let's imagine for a moment that the election was fair and untainted. But even with that, the whole process and the context leading up to the election was unfair, because during all 4 years of the Trump presidency, he and his administration, his agenda, his policies, and what he actually did and accomplished, they were subjected to the most vicious kind of nonstop hate and propaganda more than any president in American history. And the only national media organization that did not buy into this was Fox News. After the election, I took a wait-and-see approach in terms of how the post-election challenges to the results would play out. You know, I'm not a lawyer, and I did not have the resources and the ability to follow and make sense of everything that was going on in all the states where there were reports of election irregularities. And the election mechanics last year obviously represented a new level of complexity. And as Patrick Byrne reported in his series, How Donald J. Trump Lost the White House, and I know you're familiar with that because I saw you reference it, President Trump was ill-served by his post-election legal representatives, and maybe nothing could have saved his presidency or his reelection at that point after the election. And the original tragedy as we went forward into this year, 2021, that sealed the deal of where we're at now was the Georgia Senate runoffs on January 4th, when both races went to the Democrats. And it was obvious then that we were really in for it. And then 2 days later, January 6th happened, and that was really one for the ages. I don't think we'll ever know truly what happened that day. You know, just like the truth of the JFK assassination and the 9/11 attacks, they remain obscured. I think January 6th probably will. And interestingly, there was an article in Politico on December 21st that was predictive of the course that things would soon be taking the next month in January. It was titled, What All the Secession Talk Really Means. And that article was indicative of the plan to implant secession into the American political discussion, to weaponize whatever the pro-Trump forces did and were planning on doing, to construe it as traitorous, felonious secession. And, you know, that was similar to last August when there were articles in the mainstream media appearing, including about something called the Transition Integrity Project, which essentially predicted what would happen on election night and the days afterwards, namely that President Trump would appear to be ahead on election night, but in the days that followed, the slower counting of massive mail-in voting would turn that victory upside down. Now, the bottom line for me is that since 2017, conservatives and patriots were outnumbered and outwitted after decades of clever and insidious planning, organization, and action by the Marxists. And, you know, in the midst of all this, to keep my sanity, which is a struggle, it seems, at times, I've continued to remain very busy writing articles for American Thinker. I think I've written 20 in the last 6.5 months. And I'll discuss one or two of them in a moment if we have time. And
Before you move on, I just want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Okay, Georgia, it's come to my attention that Georgia's doing a forensic audit of the ballots, the mail-in ballots that have no creases and have filled in lines and such. John Fredericks is reporting on that by way of his network as well as on Steve Bannon. Have you heard anything mm-hmm. about that?
Yes, I do follow Steve Bannon. His daily show, what is he, pushing out like 4 hours a day now. It's hard to keep up with it, but in my opinion, that's a go-to place that anyone who's really interested in the deeper level of what's going on should follow Steve Bannon and his crew. But yeah, I mean, you know, but will it? Who's going to do this investigating? Really, the officialdom in all of these states, as well as the courts, as we've seen, have basically rolled over, and so it's up to the news media. And you know, as valuable as the alternative and the new media is in ferreting out the truth in these issues, we don't have the influence to change the national mindset, you know, the infowar on a big level. In the 1970s, that kind of thing was done when Richard Nixon, you know, the Watergate thing, the Washington Post, mainstream media, and eventually the rest of the mainstream media investigated and basically did the work that then was handed over to the government. Today, there's nobody left in the Fourth Estate to do that. And Fox News can't do it. They are not I mean, Tucker Carlson does an excellent job, but they don't have a full-time large investigative unit which it would take to nail this story. One, American News can't do it, and certainly Newsmax TV can't do it. So I don't know who's going to do it. You know, I mean, I was hopeful after November 3rd that the truth would come to light, and look what happened.
Okay, and my final question, exactly. Now, my final question to you, and then you can, again, go where you were going to go. If they would find the absolute proof of fraud in the Georgia elections, proof enough to overturn the electorals down there, you pose a very salient point there. You know, who do you take it to? Is there, do you see under any circumstance, Peter Barryczuk, by the way, I'm talking to Peter.media at Peter Barryczuk. Do you see any circumstance where somebody might say, wait a minute, we have in Congress or some leadership level, we have a problem. We've got a fake president in office based on fraud. Do you see any circumstance where that could happen? I mean, meaningful in a meaningful way.
Well, I find predictions very hard to make, as I've been saying for 4 years. But look who controls the Congress, the Democrats.
Yeah.
Look who controls the executive branch and the deep administrative state, the Democrats. Look who controls the media, the Marxists and the Democrats. So, I remain ever hopeful despite all of this madness, and I continue to pray. Like my country's life depends on it, because it does. But to be a realist, I'm not expecting that. And it also seems that the Republican leadership, pretty pathetic as it is in the Congress, Mitch McConnell, they're moving on. I don't think they're going to go back to the election and challenge, even if the evidence is presented to them in living color. I don't think they're going to go back there, because they've determined through focus groups or whatever that America doesn't want to relitigate the 2020 election. It's just my opinion.
Well, thank you for that. And I know a lot of people would be asking the same question. So thanks for that. Continue on.
I just wanted to wrap this up with what I've been doing, because I'd like to direct people to something I am doing now. And I was invited in late January to start doing videos with Jamie Glassoff, the editor of Front Page Magazine, the David Horowitz group. And Jamie does videos called the Glass Off Gang. So I've been invited to join them, member of the gang. And I've done 7 videos with Jamie so far. And he's a really interesting individual. He was born in the Soviet Union in the 60s. His parents, who were dissidents there, escaped with him, landed in Canada. He's now an American citizen, with a PhD in history from York University in Toronto. He's a great writer, but he's an interesting host, because he's got a great sense of humor. And of course, as someone who escaped an authoritarian, tyrannical regime, the Soviet Union, he can look around here today and with a very clear-eyed view, see what's happening, unlike many Americans, native-born Americans, can't apparently. So I really enjoy working with him occasionally, too. Oh, I also, a couple of weeks ago, I appeared on one of Dr. Carla Dean Graves' twice monthly two-plus hour-long Zoom presentations that she's doing. And Representative Michelle Bachmann was on the same program. And so I actually have a plan to interview Representative and now Dean Bachmann. She's the dean of school at Regent University on the East Coast. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, and also this high point. It was last Saturday night, March 13th, that I got my second opportunity to guest host the Salem Radio Network nationally syndicated three-hour Saturday night program, Arc Midnight, which is done by John B. Wells, but he took the night off, and I had complete control over the content. I lined up the guests, and I was able to select the 23 songs that comprise the what they call the bumper music that go in and out of the commercials. And that was just another high point, because I started in radio five decades ago, so I felt like that was coming full circle, and I really appreciated that. And by the way, that the podcast of that recorded from the Denver affiliate that carries that program is on YouTube, and it's linked from my Twitter, P. Chowka, P-C-H-O-W-K-A.
So what you're telling us is you've been just kind of dogging it for the past few
years. Yeah, I mean, I'd hope, you know, when I was looking forward to President Trump winning on November 3rd, I thought, well, that'll give me an opportunity to lay back a bit. There's a lot of other things that I've got to be doing, I should be doing, I need to be doing. But, you know, as I say, I'm open to invitations, and I write for American Thinker when I feel that the issue is important and no one else is covering it. And one of the stories I broke last month, I think, is pretty important that I will allude to briefly. But before I close this out, I want to point to an anniversary which comes up tomorrow. That is March 20th, and it will be 52 weeks ago tomorrow, Saturday, March 20th, 2021, that my first article on Dr. Anthony Fauci was published at American Thinker. Its title was Anthony Fauci, the NIH's face of the coronavirus is a deep state Hillary Clinton-loving stooge, end quote. And the blowback on that article was fast and furious. Within 2 weeks, I was referenced, attacked, and my work was linked to in four articles in the Washington Post, two in the New York Times, and additional hit pieces in BuzzFeed, New York Magazine, Vanity Fair, and many others. And this was this went around the world because the Post and the Times are syndicated around the world. And the accumulation of reader comments to all of this was close to about 100,000 comments, and many of them were ugly and threatening, and I got a lot of threatening emails too. It was really scary for a time, but eventually, of course, it passed. And meanwhile, everything that I wrote about Fauci in that article was accurate and predictive of the cunning tool for the establishment and the Democrats that he would eventually show himself to be. And in fact, if I had to name one person who I think bears the most responsibility for President Trump losing in November, it would be Anthony Fauci. And we see him today as President Biden's key leader and face of the coronavirus COVID-19 task force. And he's continuing to talk out of all sides of his mouth. And I mean, he's, I think, 80 or 81 years old now. I just wish he would retire and live a long life in retirement and just go away.
You know, I don't know whether you saw the interview that some Hispanic or Latino, whatever the correct term might be, comedian talk show host did with Fauci, threw him some really hardball questions. And I just loved it because he, you know, about the definition of a vaccine, that this isn't a vaccine, about the pharmaceutical insulation from lawsuits and so on. I mean, it was a good article. I don't know whether you're a good interview. I don't know whether you saw it.
But yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I try to see all of, you know, I've been following Anthony Fauci since the mid-1980s, which is what that first article of mine in American Thinker a year ago largely looked back on. Where is he coming from? He didn't just come out of nowhere. He's worked under six or seven presidents. He's been the head of that office at the NIH for four decades. And he was up to his ears in HIV/AIDS. And that's what I went back and looked back on with his career. And he's an individual who helped to build up the deep, big medicine administrative control grid, which is now allied with politics, and look how it's controlling us. And he and people like Bill Gates and these others are largely responsible for that. So that's where I went to there. But let me comment on this article that I did on February 23rd at American Thinker. Actually, there are two articles that week. But on February 22nd, I received a tip about a story that occupied me that entire week, and this got very little coverage. I think Fox News mentioned it once that I saw, and very little in the alternative or new media. The story began when two influential longtime members of the House of Representatives, both of them leftist Democrats from California, well, they between them, they have served 23 terms or 46 years total in the Congress. Great argument for term limits. Their names are Representative Anna Issue and Representative Jerry McNerney. Now, on February 22nd, they wrote letters on their official House stationery to 12 major cable, satellite, and online streaming providers that deliver television channels to Americans. Companies like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, Dish, Apple, Roku, and seven others. And the letters challenged and questioned these providers for their carrying the three major conservative news channels, Fox News, Newsmax TV, and One America News. The letters included seven detailed, intrusive, intimidating questions that these two congresspeople demanded answers to. Now, here's two of the questions. Quote, what moral or ethical principles, including those related to journalistic integrity, violence, medical information, and public health, do you apply in deciding which channels to carry or when to take adverse actions against a channel? And this was the final question they asked. So get this. Are you planning to continue carrying Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN on TV, both now and beyond any contract renewal date? If so, why? Now, this is significant because these two representatives sit on a major House subcommittee that was scheduled to hold and did hold a formal hearing 2 days later, February 24th, 2021. It was titled, Fanning the Flames, Disinformation and Extremism in the Media. Now, in the past several years, we've been experiencing the growing suppression, shadow banning, and the downright blackout of conservative voices, mainly in the alternative media and on social media. And one of the victims, by the way, has been President Trump, whose entire Twitter account, followed by over 90 million people, was wiped out in January. The vital historical record represented by the thousands of tweets that he issued as president simply disappeared. But now the left and the Democrats, feeling emboldened, are broadening their attack. They're aiming at the big fish, the mainstream media conservative channels, in particular their principal enemy, the Fox News channel. And keep in mind that congressional hearings are a precursor. They're the first step in making laws. Now, in the recent past, when a criticism has occasionally been directed at big tech for censoring conservatives, alleging that they are violating the First Amendment, it's been said that, well, private companies can do whatever they want, that the First Amendment does not apply to them. It's only about and to protect us from government censorship. Well, here it is now, potential government censorship courtesy of the House of Representatives. What's happening here is censorship that's now moving from radical leftists at big tech and social media to the federal government. And meanwhile, there's been no mention in any of this going on in the Congress of the fake news or the rampant disinformation or the blackouts of real news that are spread 24/7 on CNN and MSNBC. Now, what these two Democrat members of Congress did with their letter was to lay the groundwork for this hearing that I mentioned that occurred 2 days later. And I wrote two articles about that at American Thinker. Red Alert, Democrats Take First Steps to Censor Conservative TV Channels. And the one about the hearing was titled Capitol Hill Hearing Targets Fox News and Lays the Groundwork for Government Censorship. And those articles can be read by the easiest way to find them is to go to peter.media, and there's a link there to my archive of articles, more than 300 now, at American Thinker, all of which can be read for free. And by the way, there is also a video of this entire hearing. It runs 3.5 hours, and it's still online at YouTube, in fact, but it's worth looking at even in just brief parts, because it's mind-boggling to see this censorship rearing its ugly head in action. And just a brief note on who testified at that hearing. It was a kangaroo court. There were four witnesses, all Democrats. The only decent one was Jonathan Turley, the liberal Democrat who believes in free speech, professor at George Washington University Law School. But the other three were just unbelievable. By the way, this was the subcommittee of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, the Communications and Technology Subcommittee, if anyone's looking for that video. It's really incredible. So here were the witnesses, the three kangaroo court witnesses. The first one was the black Latina leftist feminist TV reporter and program host Soledad O'Brien, who's worked at NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera in America. And in my opinion, and I hope I can still express it, Soledad O'Brien is a sanctimonious propagandist who wears her various and expanding minority identities as badges of qualification and honor. The next witness was Emily Bell, who's from England. She's now at Columbia University. She spent much of her career at the left-wing Guardian News in London, of course, in a country that has no First Amendment. And next up was a rising star in the Democrat Party, Kristen Danielle Urquiza, whose Twitter identifies her as Latinx and queer. I guess Latinx, that's L-A-T-I-N-X, is the now preferred term for Latino. It was Hispanic. It was something before that, then Latino. Now it's Latinx. And she was the
Good
most direct... Yeah, we have to come up to speed with politically correct terms, I guess. And, you know, another one that's been really gnawing at me is last summer, the Associated Press, which defines styles, language, spelling, punctuation for the entire news media, determined that when the word black is used to describe African Americans, the B in black needs to be capitalized, but not when white is used, white, small w, black, large w. So you see this constantly in the media now. It's mind-boggling. But Ms. Urquiza, just to finish up on her, she blamed President Trump and Fox News for the deaths of her father. I laugh because of the absurdity here, but the committee took it very seriously. Her father died reportedly of COVID last year, and she blamed Trump and Fox News because she said her father was listening to them, and they gave her father disinformation on what he should do to protect himself against COVID-19. She didn't say what. It was a broad-scale generic attack. Surprisingly, the Republicans on the panel were pretty good. In particular, Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers from a rural district in eastern Washington state. Whenever she had a chance to speak, she was passionate, articulate, and unequivocal in her defense of freedom of speech and the First Amendment. But, you know, as a whole, the Republicans are blowing it. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but it's not very much in a systematic way, I would say. But by the way, I have some breaking news which broke earlier today.
Okay,
which shows the danger of what's been going on here domestically last year is now impacting United States foreign policy in a critical area. There was the first high-level meeting starting yesterday, Thursday, and continuing today, Friday, the 19th of March, between Biden administration officials and including Secretary of State Blinken. Whenever I hear that name, I think of the old Childs song, Winken, Blinken, and Nod.
You and me both. I like that, yeah.
Secretary of State Blinken and his colleagues representing the Biden administration, meeting with their red Chinese counterparts in Anchorage, Alaska. Now, the red Chinese immediately cited Black Lives Matter criticisms of the U.S. as a racist country where blacks are hunted down in the street by cops as a reason that they say the United States lacks credibility and authority to criticize a country like China. And Breitbart, which is one of my go-to sources, Breitbart.com, had a pretty good article on this titled, China Rebukes Biden's Foreign Policy Team, Cites Black Lives Matter on U.S. Human Rights Abuse. Now, interestingly, we know that the founders of Black Lives Matter were and are hardcore Marxists. And their fake meme over the past several years that the U.S. is racist and is hunting down innocent, unarmed blacks in the streets, this has now circled back to give Red China a bludgeon to embarrass the United States on the world stage. So, and so it goes, I guess. You know, what the Democrats are doing, the incredible and appalling chutzpah that they have, considering that the Congress is pretty much equally divided, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, they have really, they've really one-upped the Republicans and traditional Americans and the 70-plus million of us who voted for Donald Trump. I mean, we are in the back of the bus now.
Oh, yeah. And to what you were speaking of earlier, Lauren Boebert earlier today, 8:19 this morning, to be precise, Eastern time, Vladimir Putin is basically calling Biden a senile old man. China rebuffed Anthony Winken, Blinken, and Nod to his face. I added the Winken and Nod part. And Kim Jong-un refuses to talk to anyone from the Biden regime. But it's good to know. It's good to know that America is respected again. Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing some thinking about the big picture and how this all came to be, and it's again a politically incorrect analysis. But fortunately, we're on independent platforms now; we don't have to worry about YouTube. So, here goes. You know, I when I read about what demographic groups, who they voted for in the last election, as well as in the previous presidential elections, I thought, this is interesting, and really no one's talking about it in this way. You can find the statistics out there, the metrics out there, but nobody is putting the picture together, which I'm trying to do here. Now, in 2020 election, 57% of non-Hispanic whites voted to reelect President Trump, while only 42% of non-Hispanic whites voted for Joe Biden. This is according to Edison Research's exit polls of 15,590 voters conducted outside their polling places at early voting sites or by phone. And it's, by the way, compatible with other polls. And now, it's very similar to in 2016, 54% of non-Hispanic whites voted for President Trump. And we also know that in 2008 and 2012, 98% and then 96% of blacks, of African Americans, voted for Barack Obama. The reason most often cited for this lopsided vote, because Obama was black. Now, what if 98% of non-Hispanic whites had voted for a white candidate for president, largely because of his race? Can you imagine how that would be interpreted in the media? I mean, that would be the lead story for, you know, well into the future.
Yeah.
Now, further, in 2020, the election, 32% of, here we go again, Latinx, I guess that's how that's pronounced, Latinx voters voted for President Trump, which was better than he did in 2016. But only 12% of black voters voted for President Trump, which, again, was better than 2016, but, you know, wasn't that great. That's, again, according to that Edison Research data. So in the past decade – oh, this is another stat which goes along with all of this. In the past decade, starting in 2010, the non-Hispanic white population in the United States declined for the first time in history. Meanwhile, according to the Brookings Institute, the census data shows that from 2000 to 2019, the white population share in this country declined nearly 9 more percentage points to about 60%. The Latino or Hispanic and Asian American population shares show the most growth, 18.5% and 6% respectively. The black share of the population remained relatively constant, around 12%. And when you look at states that have gone from red to blue, like California, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, which is right on the edge now, and plans to turn Texas blue, what it represents, in my opinion, is Reconquista. That was the radical ideology that first emerged in the 1970s, it's Marxist at its roots, that preached that Mexicans needed to capture or reconquer the Southwest USA, which these individuals, the Reconquista movement, claimed had been stolen from Mexico in the 1800s. And basically, they're doing it. In 1970, 5% of California residents were Hispanic or Latino. Today, non-Hispanic whites are in the minority in California. And the politics have correspondingly gone far left. Here's an example. There's an individual named Kevin DeLeon. He's a Mexican-American. He was, for a time, the Speaker of the California Assembly. And during that period, when he was a top politician in California, and he's not finished yet, he's just no longer the Speaker, but he bragged that half of his relatives who were living in the United States were here illegally. Now, of course, he took an oath to uphold the laws, but I guess it doesn't count that, you know, half his relatives were breaking the law. And it's not only Mexicans. Other immigrants of color have also transformed the politics of this country. You know, as non-Hispanic whites have gone from about 85% in 1970 to less than 60% today. And Asians are also driving the push to the left. And this constantly boggles my mind because the stereotype of Asian Americans is that they're hardworking, they excel in education, they have nuclear families that are very strong, and yet they vote left. Now, yesterday I happened to turn on CNN during a commercial break in Fox News, and this is what I saw. At the very moment that I landed on CNN, it was at 3:50 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday, there was a woman speaking named Cam Ashling. She was identified as the chair of the Georgia Advancing Progress PAC. And she was bragging that it was Asians or Asian Americans that flipped Georgia blue, not only in the Senate runoffs, providing the margin of victory to the two Marxists, Democrat candidates, but to President Trump's apparently losing the state. Now, not stated was the fact that this radical Democrat, Cam Ashling, was actually John Ossoff's. He was one of the two Senate candidates. Ossoff's campaign hired her last December as director of its Asian American and Pacific Islander constituency outreach. So she's a political hack giving opinions on how it's great that Asian Americans are turning those states blue. And by the way, this is interesting too. She was a political refugee from Vietnam who came here in 1988. So you'd think that she would know better, right? But no, I guess not. So there's one example. I mean, you can find them all over the place, but sometimes these one example can speak volumes.
Indeed. Yeah. Amazing stuff, Peter. Again, people tune in to hear you. Keep going, my friend, because you're on fire. And I've got to tell you, I want to thank you for your time. I know that your time is valuable. So, as much, you got the rest of the time, brother.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Doug. We have a lot of mileage. I've done, I think, over 150 programs here starting in June of 2017, and it's always great to return. Just back to Mexico briefly, you know, I had extensive experience with Mexico, with the border between the U.S. and Southern California starting in the late 1970s. At the time, I was doing my reporting on alternative medicine and in particular alternative cancer. And back then in the 1970s and 80s, Northwest Mexico, of all places, and particularly the city of Tijuana, was a mecca of alternative healing. It was just amazing. And Mexico was actually a calm and charming and safe place. It actually felt safer when I crossed the border and went to Mexico than when I was in San Diego County. It's impossible to imagine now. Now, since then, of course, that's a long time ago, you know, 40-plus years, 30-plus years. But since then, Mexico has become a narco-criminal state. And the drug cartels, according to a guest on Fox News the other day, the drug cartels have gone through quantum leaps on the border, including right now. This was a guest on Tucker Carlson the other night who said that. And, you know, to cite Breitbart again, they had an excellent article 2 days ago by Chris Kobach on the real agenda of Joe Biden's border policy. And, of course, it's not an accident what he's doing in opening the border. This is a strategic campaign to flood this country not only with millions of potential new citizens, residents, voters, and you don't have to be a citizen to vote. It was 3 years ago, right now, that I broke a story at American Thinker and here at the Hagmann Report on how, as of April 1st, 2018, the law changed in the state of California where anyone who had a driver's license there was immediately registered to vote. And at that point, 1 million illegal immigrants had been given driver's licenses in California. Now, technically, it was still and may still be illegal for illegals to vote, but it was left up to them. In other words, if they decided to vote because an ID is not necessary, just a driver's license, they've got it, there it is, I want to vote, it's up to them not to break the law. Nobody is going to be checking at the polling place or certainly with mail-in voting. And this thing goes on nationwide, you know. And the only place I ever saw this anomaly, as I would term it, in the California law since 2018 reported on was in some local media in California. I never saw this break into the national news, and I actually didn't see any other reporting on it in even the new or alternative media other than what I was trying to do with it in American Thinker and here on the Hagmann Report. So, you know, it was Representative Gates who said the other day on Fox News again that COVID-19 and the border represent a Trojan horse. They're the wrapping paper for the American agenda. So here's another thing I've been following, and this I have real concerns about this because it involves former President Donald Trump. And that is there are at least 29 investigations going on in a number of states, some of them very serious and very in-depth, both criminal and civil investigations into Donald J. Trump and what he did with his businesses before becoming president. And the one in New York is probably the most serious. There's another one going on in Georgia. And even in Washington, D.C., in the investigations of what happened on January 6th, there is some reporting that they may try to hold him liable for allegedly inciting those who stormed the Capitol. So, you know, there's been some reporting on this to this point, mainly in the mainstream media, several really long articles. And I think that the bottom line here is the Democrats, the deep state, and the media would really like to finish off Donald Trump. They want to see him eliminated from any potential of leading a movement or running for president again. And I mean, they've succeeded this far in largely silencing him. He doesn't have a social media platform. He gave the speech on at CPAC 2 weeks ago. And by the way, I got a request to do analysis of that from the BBC of all places on their world news television broadcast, which goes around the world.
I love it.
So
that's great. Those
BBC things are interesting because, as we know, the BBC is pretty far left. But I've been on there 10 or 12 times in the last year on both radio and television. And they have a huge audience, and everything I've done has been live. So I'm not censored. And then I can usually find a podcast or a link to it. And they've always complimented me afterwards and thanked me, and they invite me back. So I don't quite understand what's going on there. But, you know, I mean, I don't come on with six guns blazing, but I do pretty much reporting as I would do here, telling the facts as I see them. And so far, so good. So, you know, I always try to respond when that happens, but so it goes, as they say.
Yeah, the British are somewhat calm, shall we say, or unexcitable to a large extent. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad you're on the BBC, because that shows that at least overseas speech is not muzzled like it is here in this country. And what you said about Donald Trump, about the going after President Trump, I will say, I've been looking at this as well. You know, you've got Letitia James, of course, up there, and you've got the Southern District in New York. You've got Washington, as you mentioned. They want to destroy this man. And they want to destroy every one of us who ever took part in the MAGA movement or Make America or American exceptionalism, nationalism, whatever you want to call it. The left globalist, I call them scumbaggery. I mean, they want us dead. And I don't think that's an overstatement. I don't think that's hyperbole. They just want us gone. I mean, gone. Yeah. So, you know, and what you mentioned too, folks, his article, Peter Barryczuk's article from February 23rd of this year pertaining to the censorship issue. I mean, this kind of goes back to that. In addition to everything else. So this all kind of fits together in this grand assault against us conservatives, us patriots, us nationalists, us people who care about the Constitution, care about the borders, language, and culture, as, Michael Savage would say. And, all right. Yeah. It's something to watch as we see everything unravel under, puppet Biden. What do you think of, Harris over there? I don't know whether you saw this. Harris is now being called an Asian American after the shooting in the health spa. So apparently we have to adjust a little bit our television sets and vision.
Fear is when she takes over, and I will predict that she will be the president before the end of their first term. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid we're going to see that. And we may wind up missing Joe Biden when she takes over, because she is the real deal. I mean, Joe doesn't know who he is. When I guest hosted Arc Midnight last week, I played the Beatles song Nowhere Man, and I dedicated it to Joe Biden. I listened to that song. I read the lyrics, and I thought, this is perfect from 55 years ago, the Beatles, Nowhere Man. But Kamala Harris, or however she pronounces her name now, is not a nowhere woman. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she will be at the tip of the spear, even sharper, I think, than Joe Biden. So look out for that. I want to suggest a couple of articles here of at American Thinker, again, getting back to the COVID thing, or getting to it. I've been doing a lot of work on that, of course. On March 17th, there was an article at American Thinker, Mask Mandates Do Not Save Lives, by Spike Hampson. That was a blog. So if you go to American Thinker, click on the right-hand blogs and go down to the end and click more, you will find that article. And back on March 11th, there was another, I'm not sure if this is an article or a blog, but it was titled, How safe are the COVID vaccines by Randall Hoven, H-O-V-E-N. How safe are the COVID vaccines? This is an amazing article because it went into the CDC's adverse events metrics that are collected weekly on adverse health effects, including death after people take the COVID vaccines. And it's a large number. In fact, the largest number of adverse events right now from any drug relates to these vaccines. So that's a very important article. Oh, and last week, one of the people I interviewed on ARC Midnight was Mary Holland, who is the president and chief counsel of Children's Health Defense. That's the organization, the tax-exempt advocacy group started by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And, you know, they are coming from a progressive liberal place. But I have to say, over the past year, that their group, Children's Health Defense, has done, in my opinion, some of the best, if not the best, substantive reporting on COVID-19 and everything about it, the treatments, the drugs, the alternative treatments, and the vaccines. And they have a weekly or daily newsletter called The Defender, childrenshealthdefense.org. And Mary Holland came on with me for an hour and broke some amazing news, I think, talking about the suppression that these people who were coming from the left, I mean, RFK Jr., you can't find somebody with a more gold-plated pedigree on the Democrat left than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He and they cannot get any mainstream media attention for what they are doing. And what they are doing is based on the science. I mean, they are serious attorneys. He's an attorney. She's an attorney. They have really excellent writers and other attorneys going through this stuff. I mean, they're not winging it. They are citing the scientific literature at every turn. So you can take it to the bank. And they are very open. In fact, I was encouraged. You know, they know where I'm coming from. And they, Mary has said she'll be willing to be interviewed by me in the future whenever I have a platform. And I took that as a really positive, a rare positive thing here, that maybe out of this COVID-19 menace, people being so fed up, whether they're left, right, or center, will realize that something's going on here. And if we don't come together and oppose this and stand up for our rights, then we're going to lose the whole ball game. And this is where they are coming from. They're very much into free speech, into the true science, and into challenging the so-called vaccines, which, of course, are not vaccines at all. They're experimental drugs. And they don't take a position as to whether you should take the vaccine or not. But it's pretty clear if you read their material, you're going to come away and say, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to take the jab. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that group because they are really the real deal. And I don't know of anything elsewhere that has collected as much information in one place as that group on the alternative view, so to speak, of COVID-19. So kudos to childrenshealthdefense.org.
Love it. Thank you. And the article that you referenced at American Thinker is on the blog side, and it's updated. And I'll tell you what, it's got a lot of great information in there. So appreciate that. We'll put a link in the program description box in this episode to that article.
Okay, and I'm in the closing moments here. I'm searching for the notes that I had to remind me what I wanted to say in the closing. You know, this is so crazy now, Doug. I'm sure you see it similarly to how I do. There's just so much information out there now that even for those of us who do this more or less for a living or voluntarily, in my case, It's really getting increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to try to keep up with it. And I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. It's just bizarre.
I'm not sure I know where to go or where to take this either. You know, you've done a stellar job in your reporting on really all issues. And I have to give you a lot of credit. Back in March of 2020, when you came out with the Fauci expose, I think you just did a, I mean, I think that was one of the first.
Yes.
You were one of the first, really. And that's why you caught all that flack, but everything.
Everybody else was rhapsodizing him at that point, including Fox News. He was appearing on Fox News. They were kissing his butt. Okay, I found the notes that I just wanted to close with here in the closing moments. You know, as I mentioned earlier, last summer and into the fall, I had my mantra, vote, influence, and pray, VIP. And the most important part, as I've said, the basis for the other two was prayer. And I noted that as a journalist reporting on alternative medicine, when I served as an advisor to, of all places, the National Institutes of Health for several years in the 1990s when they were starting their Office of Alternative Medicine, back then I became aware of research published in the scientific literature that actually validated the positive results of intercessory prayer to promote healing in sick people who are being prayed for by others. And that suggested to me that prayer on behalf of healing can not only heal or help to heal the sick body, but perhaps the sick body politic. And I think that's what happened in 2016. Now, going forward in 2021, I suggest an emphasis still on prayer, but prayer, influence, and action, P-I-A, is an easy way to remember that. And in addition to people informing themselves and using influence however they can, we have to act. And every individual knows what they can do in that area. You know, none of us can sit here and say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Everybody's in an individual place in their life with capabilities, with possibilities, with ways they can influence and reach out to others and take action. And that's what people have to do on an individual basis. So I would say to people watching and listening to this, patriots and people of faith, from your unique place in life, please pray, meditate, and ask for divine guidance, and then just do it. And I like to quote the late conservative talk show host Bob Grant, who used to close every one of his talk radio programs for decades by saying, quote, your influence counts, use it. Now, we still have ways to influence. We still have ways to mobilize. So we've just got to use it and use them, in my opinion.
In the remaining minute or so we've got, do you see, Peter, when you say your influence counts, use it, to quote Bob Grant, the late Bob Grant, do you see us being pushed to the point where we're going to have to go medieval, or at least go 1775 on these, on the, and I'm just kind of asking as a, I mean, do you see any other resolution to what we're going through other than perhaps, you know, everything?
Yeah, I hope to God we don't have to go there, Doug. I mean, I've been, I think of myself as a person of peace my entire life. I've never been involved in violence. I've never advocated or come close to advocating any kind of violent solution. And I mean, if it gets to that, I think all bets are off. And I would, you know, the other side has tremendous resources. Look what happened at the Capitol. Despite that incursion, look who won that battle. And look who's going after now, over 300 people being indicted and prosecuted. So I hope we don't have to go there, which is why I say pray. Because prayer is still the most powerful thing that we have, the most powerful arrow in our quiver, so to speak.
You got it. Please, let's not be strangers. Come back soon, and I'll offer you our platform, too, to interview anyone you'd like. I appreciate
you.
Thank
you, Doug.
I thank you so much. This is Peter Berrychauka. Take a great look at him, because he never ages. Two-time Grammy and Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe winner, Pulitzer Prize winner. He's got a doctorate from the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Community College, located in the underground Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Mall complex. I don't know why I said that. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. And thanks, Eric. Hope to see you again soon.
Indeed. I appreciate you. All right. Folks, going to be right back. Hour one. What a great guy. Peter Berrychauka, Peter.media. What a great guy. He's a fabulous man, intelligent. He just raised the intelligent quotient of this show, Eric and Tech, by triple digits. I got to tell you that. So get right back. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Myanmar, the country of Myanmar, the military there seizes George Soros Organization's bank accounts, announces arrest warrants after a coup. Have you seen this yet? Have you been following this? That's right. You're listening to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. This is our number two. And of course, if it's Friday, it's Austin Brower. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. You know what? I ordered some stuff from Healthmasters yesterday, and I hope you've sent it because I am in need of it. I'll tell you what, the immune package, and you know, there's another product I really like. If you haven't tried this, you've got to try it. The attention factor.
Focus, attention, focus. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. Folks, go to healthmasters.com and check out their product list. Their immune kit is second to none. I'm going to tell you what, it really builds up the immune system. They've got wonderful products, including products of the week. And if you do nothing else, please do me a favor and please at least take their multiple nutritional supplement, vitamin, whatever you want to call it, for your daily supplementation regimen. And also, they've got, you see it right there, food buckets, organic and other. So food buckets, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a food bucket or two or six in the pantry. You know, you just never know. You just never know when things are going to go sideways. So with that, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And while you're shopping, do what I do. Click on the link in the above right there. And you can see the link to their radio show. Okay. Monday through Friday. That's from 3 to 4 and Sundays from 7 to 8 Eastern time. You can listen to the Ted and Austin Brower show right here on the Global Star Radio Network and the archives as well. In case you miss it live, you can get it on the archives. So there it is. I highly recommend that you put that among your listening favorites. All right. Austin Brower, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, just fantastic. I'm serious. I'm doing well. It's Friday.
Yeah, it is.
Ready for the weekend. It's March. I think spring's coming. I don't know. I have to clear the snow off the windowsill to see. I'm joking, but what is it down there, about 112 or what?
No, it actually is beautiful today. It's about 71 degrees, clear blue skies, and a light sea breeze. We had a little rainstorm last night that brought in a front, so it cooled it down. So spring breaks next week in Central Florida, so everybody's going to the beach. The beach is supposed to be nice and sunny and hot next week.
I'm going to spring break. I'm going to spring break. I'm going to get my
How about Speedo?
I get my speedo.
Going to Daytona.
Hey, I'm going to Daytona. And then, did I miss bike week or?
Bike week really isn't bike week in Florida. Bike week is actually bike
all the time.
Ish. Yeah. In Florida down Daytona. It pretty much goes on for about 3 to 4 to 5 weeks in Daytona. And then when spring break arrives and all the spring breakers start dumping in from all the states and all of Florida, the bikers are kind of like, okay, we're not, we're bad, but we're not this degenerate. We're leaving Daytona. We don't want to be involved in this. So all the spring breakers descend on Daytona, and that's generally when you don't bring the kids down to Central Florida, Daytona Beach. But after a couple weeks, it's pretty fun. We're probably going to take the kids, I think, middle of April to the beach for a little bit for Hunter's birthday. He'll like that.
Well, make sure you gather in close proximity to one another and invite 20 or 30 of your friends, and let's make sure that people know it's okay.
You know, it's funny. This is the funny story about Daytona. So last year, there's always an event they have in Daytona. It's called Daytona Truck Week. And so it's usually a huge truck show they have at the Speedway.
Yep.
And so we went to it last year, the beginning of September, because it got postponed a little bit. So this is September in Florida last year. And so, you know, we go to the first place. We go out to the restaurant. They have a bar and stuff like that. So we're going to grab some food. We go in there. Nobody's wearing a mask. Every single table's full, and the place is like standing capacity in September last year in Daytona. And it was funny because we walked in and we started joking around. I was like, this is obviously Florida. We don't seem to follow rules for any good reason whatsoever, whether they should help us or not. But Florida pretty much disregarded all the COVID policies almost 100% last year. And that ironic part is, Florida hasn't descended into some black death spiral where people are being held in freezers all over the sidewalks because they can't keep up with all the dead bodies. Actually, the deaths in Florida, the annual deaths, has not really changed. Even last year, I told you our average, we fluctuate between 180,000 to 200,000 deaths every year in the state of Florida. That didn't change. I think we were right around 200,000 last year. So obviously, there's a discrepancy with what everybody's being told as it accounts to the death rate and COVID. Is it very real? Yeah, you can get sick. Can you die if you have a bunch of comorbidities and you don't take supplements and vitamin C and vitamin D, you don't take care of yourself? Absolutely. But is it what they've told us it is? Absolutely not for the majority of the populace, and especially for the kids. And that's what made me so irritated the other day. The CDC came out and they said, listen, it doesn't matter if the teachers and the faculty are vaccinated. The kids are still going to have to wear a mask going into 2022 school year now in all the schools across the country. And I mean, I read that article with the CDC and I got irate. I was like, this is ridiculous. I said, I've had enough of this. And now they did that literally almost the same day that Moderna got approval from the FDA to start testing the vaccine, this RNA technology injection, between 12-year-olds all the way down to 6-month-olds, the full span now.
Here's, yeah, there are nearly 7,000 kids. Here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You're a parent, okay? And what kind of parent? I don't know. Eric the Tech, would you sign up, you know, either or your children?
Oh, not same here. Thing I said. Same thing I said.
I mean, what you know? What's wrong with you people? And by the way, I didn't tell Eric this or anyone this. I did get my Moderna jab earlier today. Now, look, I haven't had any side effects. I mean, everything's fine. I'm sorry.
In the reality, Doug, there's some serious issues that are going on with the shot. I mean, you could just even look at the CDC's underrated report from the VAERS. That's showing we have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that have had serious adverse events, including thousands now that have died from this shot. And I mean, you're hearing about a report almost every single day in the news. I get emails repeatedly, emails from all over the country, from physicians, nurses that are talking about doctors that are getting the jab, and they get so sick they can't even come into work. Now, a lot of them, you know, have been hospitalized from the reports I've gotten, but they're sick, they can't even work. But then you have some of them, like we've seen with the AstraZeneca, we had, 17 or 21 countries, now I can't keep up with all of them, that have now stopped, halted the entire AstraZeneca RNA injection in Europe. And they started doing a full-blown investigation into basically the giant EU Health Commission yesterday to figure out what they want to do because they've had so many blood clot hospitalizations and or deaths, and they're pretty much directly relating them to COVID. They're trying to play it off and say, well, we're not really sure yet. I mean, this guy was 38. He was totally healthy, no issues. He took the shot. 4 hours later, he died. It's totally normal, though. It's totally normal. That's to be expected with an RNA injection. There's going to be some fatalities, some collateral damage. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, wait a minute. What happened with the COVID argument? Couldn't we say the same? Well, is it justifiably okay to shut down an entire country, bankrupt hundreds of thousands of people, including tens of thousands of small businesses, because you have a few small percentage of the elderly population with significant comorbidities that are dying from COVID? The only ones that have actually died directly from COVID and not suicides and gunshot wounds and car accidents and so forth. Couldn't you say the same? There's some collateral damage with that. I mean, if they're going to use that argument for vaccines, it could go the same way. In my opinion, deaths are horrific either way, but you have to look at the overall cost of what you're doing. The virus, in any virus that is a cost of living. If you live in a socialized world, if you live in a country, there's a certain point in time you're getting exposed to viruses. There's this amazing thing, Doug, amazing thing that has been around since the beginning of time. It's God-given to us, called our immune system, and it's actually designed to fight off viruses naturally. I know, this is a crazy topic. I know I'm getting far-fetched, but there's an immune system that God gave us to fight off viruses and bacteria on a regular basis. Now, apparently, that's not good enough anymore, and apparently we need to start doing gene editing technology and injecting ourselves with experimental shots to try to make ourselves not get a virus that has a 99.98% survival rate with a vast majority of the populace. But so I bring all that up now is exactly what you said. What parents are allowing their six-month-old child to get an experimental RNA injection? What in the heck is that going to do? We already know it's killing people left and right. We already know that it's gene editing therapy. We already know that it's experimental. Hey, give it to my six-month child. You're already giving them 10 other vaccines that they don't need. Might as well stick them with an RNA shot while you're at it. Hey, if they turn into a giant mutated baby, I can't sue you. It's not your problem. I'll just have to deal with it for the rest of my life. And I'm being sarcastic because it's not funny, because if any of these kids get sick or die with this injection, it's not funny at all. But it's very troubling to me. And so I talked about on the show the other day. If you put two and two together, what the CDC came out with this asinine mask mandate for kids, what you're putting together with Moderna doing this child testing, now Fauci coming out yesterday or today, I forget what article it was, basically stating that by the 2022 school year, they're going to be able to expect all high schoolers and middle schoolers and elementary school kids to be able to get the vaccine based on their research. And I said, based on their research? Heck, Moderna just started testing kids this week. So you're already saying it's going to be okay and safe for kids without any type of testing, which tells me they're going to approve it one way or another, regardless if kids drop dead, which tells me, Doug, there's more than likely going to be a huge push this year for a mandated COVID vaccine child care plan. We've seen this happen in numerous states. We've seen this happen all across the country where kids basically have not been accepted in certain areas because they don't want to get certain injections, and they try to get religious exemptions, medical exemptions. They got to go through the whole nine yards. Down here in Florida, we have the medical exemption, which pretty much is the catch-all. Nobody can go over it at all, period. Once you get a religious exemption, it's done in Florida. But a lot of states aren't that blessed. So there's a high probability with what the CDC said, with Moderna testing, with what bobblehead Fauci's babbling about again, and what we're seeing now, there's a high probability they're going to try to force this under our young children all across the country. And that is one of my biggest concerns more than anything, because you inject a 60, 70-year-old individual with RNA technology, what's the worst case scenario? We've seen the worst case scenario. They die. It's horrific. You inject a middle-aged adult with it. What's the worst thing? They have allergies. They have issues. They have a bunch of problems with DNA. They got health issues the rest of their life. It's horrible. What happens when you inject a six-month-old, Doug, with an RNA experimental technology? What is that going to do to their developing bodies?
I can tell you what doesn't happen. An angel does not get their wings, if that happens.
Yeah. No. What's going to happen? We don't know.
Check this graphic out, if you don't mind. We showed this yesterday, but it bears showing again. Okay. I don't know whether you saw this. Okay. Two mice for the radio listeners. Two mice in a test cage here. Hey, did you get the new COVID vaccine? Not yet. They're still testing it on humans. You know, yeah, they're testing it on 6 month old, children and, you know.
That's actually a factual comment. You know, they skipped animal testing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They skipped animal testing. They were supposed to do ferrets. They're supposed to do primates. Then they're supposed to go to humans, skipped all. for emergency authorization. Most bizarre thing I've ever seen. And then they want to go, like I saw, did you see the Senate hearing with Rand Paul and Bobblehead Fauci yesterday? I don't know if you saw a clip or not. Yeah, if you saw a clip, if you haven't or not, Rand Paul started just hammering Fauci.
Oh, yeah.
Because his unbelievably contradictive rhetoric. And he goes, do you have any scientific evidence at all to prove that individuals that have recovered from COVID or even individuals that have gotten the vaccine are spreading the virus? And Fauci goes, listen, it's not about the virus. It's about wild variants now. There's variants of the virus. There's a lot of them. So, and Rand Paul shuts him down. He goes, okay, do you have any research that shows healthy individuals that had recovered from COVID or people that have gotten the injection are spreading COVID in variant forms that are being hospitalized because of it? Well, it's about variants, Randy. I mean, just completely, you know, deflected it.
Yep.
And then Rand Paul flat out told me, he said, if somebody's recovered, they can't get COVID. They can't spread COVID. If the virus allegedly works and they can't get the virus and they can't spread the virus because they're getting the vaccine, that's what the whole point of getting the shot is, right? Even though Pfizer said it doesn't matter. He goes, your mask or theater. He goes, you're walking around in two masks and it's total theater, Fauci. And Fauci's getting mad. And I was laughing. I was laughing hysterically when I saw it because Fauci, you know, he doesn't like it when anybody questions him. He is a textbook sociopathic narcissist. You can tell just by, he loves to tell people what to do. He loves to be in control and he loves to be the dictator. And he has got his claim to fame now with COVID and he gets to tell 330 million people what they can and can't do. And it literally arouses him. You can tell he's that sadistic and he cannot stand it when somebody questions him. And Rand Paul just lit him up the other day in the Senate hearing. And I was laughing about it. See, Rand Paul's like the only person that did it. Everybody else just bowed down to that piece of crap. And I don't know why. He's only like 5'4". I mean, I don't know why. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I did see that. In fact, I was going to isolate that. And I just didn't know if we would have had the time. But yeah, very, very good. And I think that was might have been on Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't know. But yes, I did see that. So the variants that you mentioned, I got so many questions. What's the biggest thing outside of rather than go off in that direction, let me back up and ask you about the mandatory gene therapy, you know, that may be foisted upon us by way of COVID passes or COVID ID passes or whatever you want to call them. Do you see this being mandatory? And I'm trying to think ahead. How are we going to show that we are without violence? How are we going to show that? No, you're not going to make us do this. You're not going to, you know, it's my body, my choice, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, whatever,
yeah.
You know, Bill of Rights, of course. I guess that conversation, that whole broad conversation is what I'm looking at. You know, how is this going to play out? Because I just got something from a listener and viewer who said, boy, the Pentagon, you know, they're pressing forward with mandatory vaccinations, vaccinations of troops and talking about the American population. So how do you see it playing out? How do we fight it? Where do we go with this? You know, so on.
That's a great question. Currently, right now, as I've repeatedly told everybody, and pretty much everybody's figured this out now, the vaccines under the FDA were brought under the Emergency Authorization Act, meaning they were not approved by the FDA. They basically were deemed too untested. They did not know what they were going to do, but they said, hey, you know what? The virus is something that's floating around. We think the vaccine is effective enough, this RNA gene editing. We'll go ahead and let you dispense it. It absolves the FDA from all liability. So what's going to happen is the only way to really start forcing this on troops, first off, because that'll be the first thing they try to do is mandate it. The Pentagon's already come out now and said they cannot mandate the COVID shot right now. They can't do it because it's emergency authorization use. It is not a FDA-approved shot. It is an experimental technology. Even Fauci admitted that on the interview. I don't know if you saw it. It was on an interview with a comedian. He had the article over here. And he was with a Mexican comedian, and he did an interview on it. And it was funny.
He got hacked off there too. Yeah.
Oh, dude, yes, he got super mad about that. And basically, I don't have the notes in front of me, But, you know, he went on there because he's a narcissist and he thought he was going to be a softball interview. And the comedian started asking him these questions and started saying, hey, he goes, if this is a RNA technology that's never been tested on humans, technically this is experimental, how do we know it's going to be safe? And Fauci goes, oh, well, we know it's been safe because we've tested it and we're effective. We're sure with the efficacy of it and it's going to do a good job. And then he comes back, the comedian comes back and he goes, well, if it's been tested and it's perfectly safe, why didn't the FDA approve it? Why did they give it emergency use? And then Fauci goes, well, there's a lot of hurdles with the FDA. And because the FDA didn't approve it doesn't mean they don't like it. It just means it takes a little bit more time. And the FDA said, you know what? This vaccine's so safe and it's so healthy, we think the American populace needs to get it with an emergency authorization use and we'll deal with the approval later. That's literally what he said, basically in a paraphrasing term. And then the comedian kind of looks at me, he's kind of like, okay, well, if it's a RNA technology and you're admitting it's experimental and you're admitting it was only tested for 2 months, how does that prove it's going to be safe with long-term testing down the road? And then Fauci again deflects it with some butthole answer about basically like, well, we know because, you know, we're scientists and that's what we do. And we know what's going to be best for the people when we test this stuff. And I was just laughing. And he started getting into some questions with him, though, on it. And Fauci started getting – you could tell he started getting flustered. And so – and it was funny. He starts sweating at one point. So, you know, starts kind of wiping his head real, you know, like discreetly trying to be low key about it. And I'm like, oh yeah. I said, this cause he thought he was getting a comedian interview. He didn't realize he was about to get all the questions the American populace want. He made himself look like a complete and total ass, quite frankly. I mean, he answered the question so poorly and deflected everything and reminded me of the press secretary, Janet Pileski or whatever her name is. I don't keep up with her. She's such an idiot. Where, I mean, all she says is, I'm going to get back to you on that. I'm going to circle around on that. I'm going to get back to you on that. I'm going to circle around on that. Literally doesn't answer a single question, ever.
No,
ever.
I know that. Yeah, Psaki, P is silent, just like President
Biden. Yeah, whatever. Okay. I don't even choose to speak her name correctly.
Yeah, and that's fine. And, you know, she's going to circle jerk the entire press corps in the Brady room. What are you laughing at? You okay?
Beep.
I don't care. You know, come and arrest me. Come on, FBI.
Beef jerky. You're talking about beef jerky.
Beef jerky. That's right. Beef jerky.
Oh, he's got hairy legs.
I got hairy legs.
But you know, I watched that interview with that comedian
I encourage everybody to watch it. I put the link on the website.
And you know that was uploaded by Del High. I don't want to say Hightower. Maybe that's the right. I'll give credit to whoever, but he uploaded it and it kind of narrated the interview. And I thought, I mean, how great is this? He was rolling on the, you know, he's rolling on the floor laughing because Fauci was out of his element there. Fauci would walk over his dead mother, you know, just to get to a television camera. He's never seen a camera he doesn't like. And, I just hate the thought of that. But, he's used to these softball questions and, oh, you know, being praised and such. What a bunch of hooey. And, you know, the thing that he did with the folks, you've kind of, the first hour, Peter Barry-Chaka was on and he wrote about Fauci back in March of 2020. And he got a lot of crap for that article, okay? But he exposed him as this globalist hack that he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So, understand.
He runs the National Institute of Health. He's the highest paid federal agent in the country. He funded the Wuhan lab $3.5 million to form a gain of function with the COVID virus to figure out how to get it from bats to humans. And people always go, I hate it. It drives me up the wall, but I can't even argue with it. When they go, Dr. Fauci, he's the leading expert in the COVID pandemic. And I sit there and go, yeah, he actually is the leading expert. He planned all of this. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why he was ready for it. And that's why he's come out now and he's changed the narrative so many times. He's gone in and done the Cloward and Piven technique. You go in and you create the problem. Then you create the solution, and then you come out of the back end as the savior. That's why he comes in and goes, Masks don't work. They don't work at all. It doesn't matter. They may stop a droplet or two, but nobody should be wearing masks. They don't give you any protection. Months later, it's mandatory. Everybody needs to wear masks everywhere in the entire country all the time. Everybody goes, right. All right, well, that was an about face. Then he goes, you need to wear two masks all the time. Oh, if you get the vaccine, you need to wear a mask still. Oh, shoot, you need to wear a mask until 2022 now. Oh, and if you're 2 years old, you need to wear a mask. Oh, anywhere you go, at any time you're around somebody, you need to wear a mask. To the point now that California has taken it so far. If you saw the California Attractions and Parks Association, the CAPA, they're responsible for reopening part of the state now after Governor Nuisance has pretty much ruined the entire state. They're now saying, listen, we're going to be gracious gods. We're going to allow the theme parks to open up to 15% capacity. Don't you love us? Aren't we gracious? 15% capacity. You should come thank us for being so gracious. But when you go to those theme parks, and I'm going to quote this, when you go to theme park visitors should avoid activities that increase the spread of COVID-19, such as singing, shouting, heavy breathing, and raising one's voice, and anything that may increase the chance of COVID spreading. And riders on theme parks. So any rides, any parks, any roller coasters, all riders should wear masks at all times to mitigate the effects of shouting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dear Lord, help me.
Yeah, so when you're on a roller coaster that's at 15% capacity, so you got a 50 deck, you know, capacity there, and you're running 7 to 8 people, that's it. It's all you can run on that one roller coaster because of COVID. You have to wear a mask the entire time because we don't want you yelling on the ride, and we want to mitigate you shouting because you can't have fun. This is a pandemic still, guys. We're already being gracious and letting you go 15% capacity. You should thank us for letting you wear masks because we're so gracious. I'm so sick of it, Doug. It's so ridiculous. And now one time, any health personnel has gotten on national television and said, listen, we've looked at research for the last 20 to 30 years. Vitamin C has significantly improved the odds of surviving any COVID infection. We actually have doctors all across the country that have administered intravenous vitamin C along with oral vitamin C,
yep,
and D3 and zinc along with quercetin, and got people out of ICUs within 2 days. Personally got the reports directly from people, directly from their mouth. Walked out of the ICU in 2 days after vitamin C, D3, zinc, and quercetin stat. 2 days. No. Can't do that. You get the vaccine, you shut up, you still wear a mask, and then you're going to do it next year too. And you know what? If you don't listen to us, we're not going to be gracious anymore. We're going to do 2023 and 2024. Because remember, there's variants now. There's wild variants, according to Fauci. There's a variant here, there's a variant here. And you don't know, your neighbor could be carrying a variant. That one that doesn't wear a mask and had a Trump sign in front of his house, I bet you he has a wild variant of COVID too. So if you see him walk around without a mask in his yard, you turn him in.
Oh, I can tell you, you don't know how right you are. I'm not going to get into personal experiences, but I think it was the Trump sign. That's all I have to say.
You know, speaking of large venues.
Go ahead.
What was that?
Just speaking of large venues, just don't go to those amusement parks and stuff. Go to the Texas Ranger game, 100% capacity.
Yeah, or go to the Super Bowl down here in Tampa. That was ridiculous.
Exactly.
Ridiculous. No, I agree. I refuse. Well, you guys know my disdain for Disney. I've made it very clear on this show and many other shows. Disney and I don't get along. We do not have a civil relationship due to how they've treated me with law enforcement and my ability to lawfully carry.
I got to interrupt you, man. I'm serious. His picture is up in all of the Disney offices like a mugshot saying, this guy's trouble. Don't let them on the
I am on facial recognition. I get flagged. They told me that last time I was there. When I go into any, last time, that's the last time I went. When Disney Springs, not Disney World, Disney Springs, I am on facial recognition. They ID'd me as soon as I walked in. That's why out of nowhere, canine officer shows up out of the blue. I'm with my family, walking with them in a stroller, and says, sir, are you carrying a firearm? I kid you not. This happened to me. If people have heard the show. And I go, well, who are you? Straight up cop, which is with canine. He goes, well, My dog alerted that you have a firearm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. And I got beachfront property in Kansas to sell you, ding-dong. You want to come up with a better lie? Sir, are you carrying a firearm? I need to know. Well, yeah, I'm carrying a firearm. I have a concealed permit in the state of Florida. I'm a non-felon. I can carry a firearm legally. Dispatch, we need backup right now. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go again.
Gun!
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, make no sudden moves. I'm about to get shot. So, that was the last time I was there. But the last guy, the security contractor, they escorted me off the premises because I was no longer allowed to be on the premises. They escorted my family out. He blatantly told me, he said, well, dude, we got reports that basically you got flagged as soon as you came in. He goes, that's off the record, though. And I said, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, they have thousands of people on facial recognition memory. So as soon as they come in the park, they immediately watch them. And they either address, you know, they'll either engage them or they'll watch them. But apparently they want to engage you immediately. And I said, well, I don't blame them. I would have too. You know, I'm that white Christian patriot male that doesn't deal with crap. And that's not welcome at Disney. You need to be a good little beta subservient queer to go hang out at Disney. And yes, I said that because they love having their gay day month. I said gay day month. I didn't misspeak on that. They have it for an entire month now, and they want you to wear your mask. I talked to a friend of mine that had his family came down. He didn't go. His family went down to Disney's. They want to go so bad. It's still 50% capacity. You got to schedule different things. And he said they literally treat you like cattle. You're walking around. They tell you signs everywhere. You're designated mask-free. You can eat and drink. Basically, in those areas only. If you walk out of those areas and you pull your mask down for any reason, they will give you a warning. If they come back and give you again, they will escort you off the premises with security contractors and tell you you're not allowed to come back to Disney because you have not followed orders. That's Disney. So
yeah.
Eric's absolutely right. I wouldn't support any of these theme parks. If it tells me I have to wear a mask, if it tells me what I can and can't do, and I'm paying you, just clarify that. I'm paying you to go to your park so you can tell me when I can and can't breathe oxygen clearly. that's going to be a hard pass for me.
And not to mention, they've been shut down forever. So yeah, I'm sure those rides are really safe. And yeah, their staff is bulked up to...
Especially only the
California.
Best.
You know, Disney shut down, I think, for a couple of months. Doggone California, they've been shut down for a full year now.
You know, yeah, I'm sure the squeaky wheels on the teacups and the roller coasters, really imbue.
What corners are being cut?
Yeah, exactly.
Food, rides.
Overhead, I mean, you got to remember, overhead, when they open back up, overhead doesn't stop. Their costs, their maintenance, their employees, their electricity, none of that stops.
Right.
Well, if they're at 15% capacity, how in the heck can you possibly cover overhead? Answer is you can't. You got to get some type of state subsidy. That was the problem I ran into with a lot of my friends that have small restaurants down here when they got shut down and they said, you got 50% capacity. Well, if you only have 30 tables in your small restaurant and you can only have 15 tables open now and you still got to bring in the same amount of food because you don't know who's going to pick what on the menu and you still have to have enough servers and dishwashers and staff and chefs in the back. Dude, you're not making any money. And they said that. They said, dude, in a lot of businesses, they opened up for a month, 50%, said, dude, we're done. Then some of them completely defied it. And that's when Governor DeSantis finally came in because some of these counties were being so aggressive. DeSantis said, no, you cannot tell any business what their capacity can be at all, period. They can be 100%. If you want to tell them they can't be at full capacity, you have to send in a letter to Tallahassee on the reason why you believe they are such a hazard to the community that they need to be reduced to 50%. And to my knowledge, not one single business has done so. Now, of course, you have some of the asinine moron companies that have decided upon themselves they're still going to keep businesses at 50%. I don't understand why, but most of those, though, are corporate companies. And I've noticed this. I've noticed something about this, Doug. The companies that are extremely rude about masks, the companies that are extremely rude about capacity and treat you like you're a cattle when you're coming there to pay them money, almost all of them are corporate companies. And I bet you 50 cents, I'm not going to make a huge bet on this because I can't prove it, but I bet you a huge amount, 50 cents, that all those corporations that act like this are controlled and getting funds directly from these stimulus bills and directly from their other corporate companies, including banking cartel of what we've seen now, because no small homegrown business that is trying to make a profit, that is trying to support their customers, that is trying to take care of their company, you know, their company and their employees, would ever treat their customers like that. And it's very vivid when you see the complete difference between companies that have mandated it and companies that said, heck no, we're not going to comply. Like that restaurant out in California had their doors padlocked, cut the padlocks off, had their AC and their electric turned off. We're running on generators outside full capacity. Yep. Had a court order to shut down. Said, no, absolutely not. We're not going to do it. And they are booming, standing line outside trying to get in because their food's so good and everybody wants to come hang out and support their business now. And they said, no. So back to your original question, what can we do? Don't get the shot. Don't shut down your business. Don't comply. Don't give money to businesses that are diametrically opposed to your beliefs. That's what that right there in and of itself is the answer book. I'm giving everybody the keys. That's it. It's the answer key. It's a cheat sheet. Yeah. What to do. Exactly what to do.
I totally agree with that.
And if everybody does that, because what they're going to do is once they get FDA approval on these injections, if they ever do, they're going to do exactly what we discussed. The vaccine passport's going to start applying to everything. Stadiums, concerts, games, planes, trains, everything. And eventually, you wait and see if they don't. This is the loophole me and Dad were talking about. I said, what are they going to do with vehicles? I said, vehicles, they're going to do something with vehicles the next couple of years. You know they're going to pull the hammer on something. He said, well, what they could do, they could mandate it that either A, you have to have a COVID vaccine passport to renew your vehicle, which problem is you can do that a lot online now. So what they may do is they may end up having a shutdown of the online services, a cyber attack or a maintenance and saying, hey, listen, if you need to renew your vehicle, you have to come into the DMV. And if you come into the DMV, the only way to get into the DMV is a COVID passport. Now, of course, this is total speculation, but from what we've seen with this push for electric vehicles and this massive funding for electric vehicles and this infrastructure with the 5G, now rolling into 6G with the autonomous Internet of Things that they want to roll in with these vehicles, they want to mandate these electric vehicles for a reason. I was telling everybody this on the show the other day. Gasoline and diesel-powered engines are too independent still. You know, I can take one of my old diesel trucks, you know, go buy an old 7.3 Power Stroke Ford, thing runs like a top, doesn't have much power, but runs great, gets great fuel mileage, can turn around and go get a 1,000-gallon fuel tank in the back, fill it up with diesel and stable, and run that thing for years, considering I don't have to drive very often, or get more tanks if I want to drive more. And there's nothing anybody can do. As long as my tag's legitimate, there's nothing they can say to me about operating on the road. What they're going to do is, this is why they shut down the Keystone Pipeline. This is why fuel is literally growing exponentially by the day almost at some gas stations across the country. They want to snuff out the gas so it's $8, $9, $10, $12 a gallon for fuel and then bring in the electric vehicles and say, hey, listen, the electric vehicles are so great. They're so cheap. They're so sustainable. This is what you need to do. Trade in your vehicle and we'll give you a government subsidy to buy an electric vehicle. Mark my words on it. And the problem with the electric vehicles is not only can they control us 100%, they're fully interfaced with the company at all times. The charging stations – right now, the hypercharge, you know, Tesla or something, it's $30, $40, $50, depending on the model, to actually charge it in a speedy capacity, 30, 45 minutes an hour, instead of taking 6, 7, 8 hours like a lot of them do. What happens, here's the thing, Doug, what happens when they come in with an emergency disaster, any other excuse, like that happened in Texas, and they say, you know what, the 18 per megawatt hour, I think it was $18 per megawatt hour, we're not going to allow you to do that. You're going to have to buy extra power from outside the state, and it's going to be no cheaper than $1,500 per megawatt hour. $1,500. $18 to $1,500. To the point now, there's still Texans that are dealing with $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 electric bills. The governor's trying to fight with it. They're all fighting with it right now. So what happens when it comes in and your Tesla isn't $40 to $50 to charge? Overnight, it's $1,500 to charge. And you go, what? Look what they just did in Texas. Think how easy that will be to push that in there. And then all of a sudden, oh, sorry, it's the electric cost, guys. It's because everybody's using so much electricity. Maybe if you turn your thermostat to 80 and you stop watering your yard and you don't breathe as much air and you don't eat as much food and you stay inside your home, maybe we'll be able to get your electric bill down a little bit so you can charge your car, you know.
I think he froze. It could be the electric circuitry here. I think so. And that's a great point, what he was saying. Let me know when he's back. That's a great point. And the other end of this, even if everything is sunshine, rainbows, puppy dog tails, and little kitty cats, and everybody's happy and smiling, what about the gas tax? You know, the tax on every gallon of gasoline that goes here and there and in this pocket and that pocket. What about the states and the federal government loses the gas tax? So wait a second. What's a viable way to make that up? Well, that's one way, or maybe, just maybe, we're going to charge you by the mile. That's what we're going to do. Or perhaps put toll barriers everywhere. Charge you by the mile. What do you think? Did we get him back? No. See, I'm gonna tell you, it's a conspiracy. I tell you, my friends, it's a conspiracy to silence us. That's right. Healthmasters.com, folks. If you haven't done so, please go to healthmasters.com. Order your nutritional supplements. They are the best of the best, in my view. They make me feel better. My family, every family member I have takes Healthmasters, in one form or another. Okay. They've done wonders for prevention, or I want to be careful here what I say. They've done wonders to build our immune systems, plural, all across the company here. So if you haven't done so, please, and you know what? I challenge people. If you have not tried Health Masters nutritional supplements, because I know there are so many out there, so many different kinds of companies out there that sell this stuff. Try it. Try it for a month. If you take XYZ brand of your daily supplement, try Health Masters Ultimate Multiple, or B's or C's or whatever. I'm telling you the attention factor formula that they've got. Oh my goodness. It's unbelievable. Now, the eyesight is the product of the week. It helps your eyesight. I'll say this. I have not experienced any kind of, how can I put this? My eyes are bad. And I use this to maintain, so it doesn't get any worse. I guess I might as well say it that way. So my eyesight does not decline any worse. But regardless, the entirety of their products are great. Healthmasters.com.
You wear rec specs when you go shooting?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I lose my plausible deniability if I accidentally shoot you in the face with a shotgun when
we're
duck
hunting. It's a good excuse. I'm blind. I can't see.
Yeah. I'm Dick Cheney. I mean, I thought I identified with Dick Cheney. We go to the range. I have to make sure I double up.
Austin's back. Talking about, this is what I will not be driving in 2022.
Okay.
All electric?
Wow.
Wow, all electric truck.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, that makes me feel good. You know, where do they get the electric for the power stations? I'm just curious. I don't know.
Diesel generators most of the time. I made a joke about that on our show the other day. I saw one years ago. It was in Orlando. It was like this hypercharging station. You know, about 100 yards back, you could see this electrical, you know, grid. And they also had a backup diesel generator. Now, whether or not it was running the charging grid, it was a big diesel generator. And you could tell it may have been propane. I didn't see a diesel tank over there, but I assumed it looked like it was a diesel Generac one. A lot of those big ones are diesel. But regardless, it's just funny to me because this concept of electric vehicles, that's been one of the reasons why I haven't supported them at all, is because they're way too dependent on way other outside variables. Now, I have always liked the idea of hybrid systems, using motors in conjunction with electric and solar panels and using three like that. That's a cool technology, especially if it's something you can actually build and generate and actually have reliable energy from the motor that builds power for the batteries and the electric charge and wire driving. There's some cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this push for full-blown electric vehicles, man, puts a whole lot of dependence and gives a whole lot of power to these clowns. And if anybody just wants to look for 1 second, look how quick the prices of power can change from buying, getting an office, to canceling the Keystone Pipeline, to fuel jumping up $1.50 a gallon. What we saw in Texas, just like I talked about before, I was so rudely cut off by my internet server. It's always funny when I start getting into topics that people get a little rubbed about. My internet goes out. It's always ironic. Not when I'm talking about something basic, like, you know, the color of my carpet in my new house. So, but I digress. Yeah. So that's my stance on it, man. That's why I've been really, really adamant about that. I talked on our show last week about one of the friends and customers and listeners of ours that invited us to Orlando years ago for a convention. And they were trying to block 5G. This is back when 5G was really trying to get pushed hard. And they said the whole point of 5G is to build in an Internet of Things platform that is going to go to a new system. This is before 6G even kind of was talked about yet. And they said the only way that electric autonomous vehicles can operate on interstate highways, everything has to be autonomous. You can't have five autonomous vehicles and five big old F-150s running around, because what's going to happen is all the electric autonomous vehicles cannot predict every single thing that the other drivers are going to do all the time, unless all the other vehicles are autonomous and they're talking to one another and they know exactly what they're doing. So that's the push of why they're trying to do electric vehicles. Gas engines are very easily able to be disabled from electric systems. A lot of older vehicles, you know, you start going pre-80s, 70s, 60s stuff. Mm-hmm. Dude, you can run it whatever you want. They're EMP proof. Those are pretty cool trucks, some of those old school ones. And so they don't want any of that. And so they're going to have a hard time pushing this. This is going to be a huge line in the sand for a lot of American purists and the automobile industry that are big, huge petrol heads, and they're not going to go down without a fight. So it's going to go the same way with the vaccines. I wish people would get so adamant about this and do your own research on it. And that's why I continue to tell everybody, you know, we do not live in a spirit of fear. God has been very clear about that. You know, he's given us strength and love and a sound mind. And this is something that people have to start realizing, that is that the whole thing, this whole pandemic was designed to do one thing, and instill fear. Make you fear of your family. You can't go hug them. You can't go see your grandma in the nursing home. You fear of your neighbors. You don't want to be around your neighbors. They may give you something. Fear of your friends. Fear of going to work. Keep you at home. Fear of going to the supermarket. Wear multiple masks. Wear a face shield. Wear gloves. Social distance. Stand on the 6-marker line. It's ironic. You know, Fauci went on. I don't know if I brought this up last week on your show. He was on CNN discussing the new research study that came out that blatantly said there's no scientific difference between being 6 feet apart and 3 feet apart and contracting COVID. They have found nothing, nothing at all, zero difference. So that right there in and of itself, when they come out and said, listen, you got to listen to this, it's science. The science is telling you what to do. Are you not going to listen to science? Stay 6 feet apart. It's the science. Completely and totally erroneous. Erroneous. No sense at all. Not scientific one bit. Completely and totally contradictive. But yet, we saw for months signs on the floor. 6 feet. 666. And I remember I told you last year, I said, isn't it weird? Isn't it ominous that this is happening? And they choose six. Not five, not three, not four, not seven, but six. Six is the magic number that everybody has to stay away from each other. So now signs on every door, six, six on every floor. The number six in unison everywhere you go now, like it was some weird satanic ritual. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Now that they've come out and they said 3 feet, is the same as 6 feet when it comes to any type of contracting COVID from social distancing, I went, okay, the gig's up. Y'all are some clowns. You get big red noses, you get a hair, you get makeup, y'all are clowns. Like, no, anybody that takes these guys seriously on national television, I mean, we see what's happening now with the deep state AI. You've seen now, I don't know if you saw this, it's called the deep clone. deep fake. That's what it is. Deep fake Tom Cruise. Did you see that?
I did. But let's talk about this because I didn't spend a lot of time looking at what that was all about. So explain that to me.
Okay, so what has occurred now? I wish I had the article in front of me. I'm usually better prepared than that. Let me see if I have it. I brought it up on the show the other day because it's a it's quite a troubling thing. Ah, I found it right here. Perfect. Always in my notes. So what's happened is now, and I'll read you this. The inventor of this that made the Tom Cruise deep fake. So there's videos that surfaced on TikTok that have gone viral now a couple weeks ago. And it was Tom Cruise playing golf. It was Tom Cruise sitting on a grassy field eating a lollipop. And it was legitimately Tom Cruise, you thought, in the video. The teeth, the voice, the face, the hair, the body gesturing, everything was Tom Cruise. And people start freaking out. Tom Cruise has a TikTok. He's running around playing golf. Tom Cruise doesn't play golf. He's Scientology. What are you talking about? Then all of a sudden, the guy came out, and it was called Deep Tom Cruise. That was the TikTok. And what happened was the individual that did it, his name was Chris Yumi, U-M-E. He's a visual effects artist who created the Cruise deepfakes, is what they called it, Cruise deepfakes. He told The Verge that each video clip was the product of weeks of work. He relied on an actor called Miles Fisher, a similar Cruise lookalike, to impersonate the movie star before giving Fisher a digital face transplant. Using open source deepfake software, sound technology, existing editing tools, and his own visual effects expertise, Hume said, "I am sure you cannot see a single glitch." And he was right. The artist told CNET that his videos were strictly a creative pursuit, and he only wanted to bring awareness to the advancement of deepfakes. And what we saw with this now, and this has come out, you know, this technology has been around for a couple of years. And so what he showed us in these videos is that you can pretty much make a video of anybody if you want to, hard enough. And nobody will be able to figure out it's not them. Unless maybe like their wife and they know they weren't there at the time videoing this or something like that. Well, I saw something very strange. I've watched this now repeatedly. We talked on the last show about the bumbling buffoon in office that stole the election, Biden. The address to the country last Thursday with the green screen behind it and how he told everybody, if you follow the rules, if you wear a mask, if you get your injection, we may think about letting you have people over for a barbecue. We talked about that. I had numerous people email me and say, was that even Biden? And I went, yeah, that's a good question. I said, almost every video you see of him in public, he's got a mask half the size of his face on. Can't even see his face. He won't talk. He bumbles everywhere. He tried to walk off Air Force One yesterday and tripped on three steps, almost fell over to the side. Was so disoriented, he can't even walk upstairs. The man can't even go in public and answer a question. He staggers around, goes, "What? Am I going this way? This way? Oh, this way?" It goes off. And then, you know, they kind of lead him everywhere he goes. Well, then all of a sudden he gets on the Address the Nation. And he's sitting there reading the teleprompter clearly. He's abrupt. He's alert. He's tactful. He's making sure he tells everybody, we'll get permission if we listen, if we're good peasants.
Yeah.
And then I saw the stuff with Deep Tom Cruise. And I went, you know, this is totally speculative. But then I saw the video with him and the green screen with the microphones. I don't know if you've seen that, where he's outside on the sidewalk.
And I think this is
go through the microphone.
Yeah, okay. We've got this. Eric the Tech, I do you have it?
They're superimposed or the entire thing is a
okay.
green screen.
Folks, look, this has been going around. This is
this is on national television, by the way. This wasn't some fake. They recorded this live on national television.
Yeah, let's play this. It's like 50 seconds, 50 seconds. Here it is. Watch his hands and the microphone. And this is Biden outside the White House. Watch this.
Not at the moment.
Oh, the lower third is blocking, but
you can still see part of it.
Okay, if you can back that up again.
Talking with several countries already. Well, I'll let people share thoughts with other countries.
You got to go back more. Oh, there we go. Watch this.
Not at the moment.
What the hell just happened there?
The microphones don't exist, Doug. They're not there.
Not at the moment.
Everyone see that, folks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Either that was a green screen, or those were superimposed microphones to make people think there was a media there, and he was standing out there by himself, and somebody was just asking him a canned question. That was one of the two. That's the only thing. That was either a full imposed green screen, or those were imposed microphones. So here's my big question. When I saw this, then I went, okay, all right, we're getting played. If they are superimposing mics to make people believe he's doing press outside, if every time he goes out, you know this, every time he's out in public, you never see anybody. There's never a press. He's gone the longest of any president of actually never doing a formal live press or a live speech to anybody, refusing to pretty much do a State of the Union. And then to see that behavior in a lot of areas, and then he gets on television last Thursday, and he's sitting there acting like doggone Adolf Hitler, telling everybody what they're going to do if they want Independence Day. Then I saw that deep fake thing with Tom Cruise, and I went, what if, Doug, and I don't know, this is total speculation, but it's starting to look like this. What if everything we're being told is a complete and total lie? This guy's basically in a basement. They dust him off and bring him out occasionally to try to make some superimposed video. And then when they need to, they have somebody come out that's alert, that's postured like him, that's similar to him. They deep fake his face along with the speech, and everybody thinks it's real. Because one thing about it was, and that speech on Thursday that he did, his eyes, that's what numerous people said. Out. They said his eyes look hollow. It looked like there was nothing there. And I said, you're right. And I watched part of the video, and it is. He's got a hollow look to him, which that is a side effect of a deep fake change, because you're doing special effects to the face. And so you lose some of the realness of the eyes, the real eyes. That's the one thing another guy said in an article when he was talking about the deep fakes. He said a lot of times the eyes are the main thing you can tell. So I'm just throwing it out there. I want your listeners to look at it. I'm not saying this is what's going on. I'm not making any proclamation. I'm simply speculating as an American citizen that has the right to do so. But look at it and do your own research. I tell everybody that. Do your own research. Look at my supplements and look at other stuff on the market. Do your own research. Look at the reviews on the RNA injection. Look at the gene therapy editing, the gene editing they're talking about doing. Look at what's really going on and do your own research. But I'm starting to get convinced, Doug, that pretty much everything about this presidency is a complete total farce. And they're simply keeping him in play until they want to get Kamala Harris, the slut, in office so she can start running the country and pushing her full-blown Marxist communist regime, which she's been very clear that she wants to promote. That's my opinion.
What's stopping him now? If he's just a placeholder, if he's a...
There's an event. There's something going on, Doug. There's something going on, whether it's a false flag, whether it's something at the border, whether it's something going on with Russia or China. You look at what's going on in Russia. Him and Putin were going back and forth, allegedly. Putin challenged him to basically a live debate online. They said, Biden's too busy. He's got to drink his juice box and his graham crackers in his basement. He cannot be burdened with this. I'm obviously joking, but that's what they said. He was too busy. Putin just pulled out a U.S. ambassador out of the United States.
Yeah.
I think Saturday.
And Putin does know something, I really believe, because he said, yeah, let's have a discussion on
that's
air
why
live.
He did that.
Yeah.
He did that on purpose. He did that challenge on purpose because he wanted to call him out. Putin is not an idiot. He's actually very, very sharp. If you listen to him, I mean, granted, it's in Russian, but you can watch translation. The man is very sharp. I don't agree with everything he does, but he's no Nancy. And so he did that on purpose to call out Biden because he wanted to see if they were going to actually do it. Of course, they didn't. They go, he's too busy right now. He can't be burdened with talking to another foreign power. He has to make sure he's doing fake press conferences and putting superimposed microphones in front of him. There's something going on right now, Doug, between the Capitol and the National Guard, between these gun bills that are getting ramrodded through, between the COVID lie that we're being told, between the southern border turning into a giant boondoggle right now. They're saying there was 700% capacity right now with migrant children. They don't even know what to do with all of them down there. The National Guard, the Border Patrol, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas has basically said this is turning into a giant sex trafficking scandal. He said that yesterday. I think on Breitbart brought it up. There's something going on that they are keeping this Biden clown in office for, so they can use him as a either scapegoat or as basically a martyr to try to bring in Kamala and say, this is what we're going to do now. We have to do this. The country's in shambles. Our president was just killed or something just happened. I don't know. But something's going on.
Unbelievable. I'm looking at the time. We're out of time. Let's leave it there. Thank you so much. A lot to think about. Healthmasters.com. Doug Five?
Doug Five's hot and active. Be sure to check it out. Right. Also, the eyesight's on sale. Heard you talk about that earlier.
Perfect. All right, brother. Thank you so much. God bless you. Stay safe. Healthmasters.com. A lot to think about. Watch Hagman Report this weekend. I said it last weekend, but watch it this weekend. We got some breaking stuff. Hagman out.